So, two stories from Mark, which form our gospel reading today, both take place in mainly Gentile country. Jesus has left the Sea of Galilee and travelled some 40 miles northwest to the Mediterranean coastal town of Tyre, a town in Phoenicia, a place we call Syria today. Jesus is in Tyre with his disciples and followers when suddenly a Syro-Phoenician woman pushes her way into Jesus' presence. She had everything going against her. She was a woman. She was a Gentile from the wrong side of the tracks. She was a foreigner. She had no right to engage Jesus in conversation. Imagine a homeless person interrupting the dinner of the Prime Minister to ask a favour. Just keep that image in your mind. Despite what tradition and custom dictate, this woman does approach Jesus. She's driven by something more powerful than protocol. She's desperately afraid that her daughter is going to die. She bows before Jesus and begs him to cast out the demon which is in her daughter. I think that one of the most startling aspects of this story to our ears is that instead of answering, "Of course I'll save your daughter," Jesus instead says, "First let the children all eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Jesus is telling this desperate woman that his mission is for the Jews, and the Jews alone. Not only that, he calls her a dog. And I see from Dean Jeffrey at St. Albans, I see from his excellent book called The Meaning of the Miracles, which I always refer to when talking about miracles, I see that Mark actually softens that word, dog, with a diminutive ending. It makes it more like doggies. Not quite so harsh, but nonetheless, it accurately describes a standard Jewish insult against the unclean Gentiles. Jesus seems to be endorsing this piece of prejudice. He's making it clear that his mission was intended for the true children of God, that is, the Jews. Well, I've read many commentaries about this, and many distinguished theologians explaining this apparent lack of compassion. Was Jesus testing her? At that time, did Jesus not realize that his mission was to the whole world? Well, those are questions that perhaps you can raise and discuss in your house groups or over coffee later, because I want to concentrate more on the woman and her daughter. So when she receives this rebuke, how does this woman react? Many of us who had been spoken to in this way would have just crept away, feeling small and insignificant. But not so this Syro-Phoenician woman. She boldly responds to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." If Jesus' early prejudice against her was very human, then his insight now is divine. He immediately understands her challenge. His mission is not restricted to the Jews. God's love expands beyond all barriers. Rather than scolding her for her brashness, Jesus tells us, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Jesus has healed her. By standing up and answering Jesus back, has this woman changed the whole direction of Christ's ministry? The story that follows the tale of the Syro-Phoenician woman is there's also another story, also about healing, and about healing another Gentile. Jesus travels 20 miles further north along the Mediterranean coast to Sidon. A deaf man with a speech impediment is brought before him. People beg Jesus to lay hands upon the man and to heal him. Of course, being deaf in the first century was not merely about hearing or not speaking clearly. For many people, physical impairment was viewed as the consequence of sin. People who suffered from blindness, deafness, withered limbs had little or no status. They were often barred from all social and religious institutions of the day. In those days, people were afraid of physical differences and did not understand the biology of birth defects as we do today. So when Jesus healed people, he not only corrected their physical problems, he also restored them into their communities. And Jesus sees beyond this man's infirmity. He sees his value as a child of God. Jesus takes the man away from the crowd, puts his fingers in his ears, then spits and touches the man's tongue. Raising his eyes to heaven, Jesus says, "Ephrathah, be opened." And immediately the deaf man can hear and speak clearly. Jesus has not only released him from the burden of his affliction, but he's reunited him with his community as well. Whenever Jesus heals, whether it's a demon-possessed girl, a man with leprosy, a bleeding woman, or a deaf man, he heals not only the body, but also repairs their fracture with their community as well. In the modern Roman Catholic rite of baptism, the priest touches the ears and the mouth of the newly baptized person and says, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon teach your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith, to the praise and glory of the Father." In the older Roman rite, the priest was directed to use his own saliva to touch the ears and mouth and shout, "Ephrathah, be opened," into each ear. This ancient rite and modern prayer, which accompanies it now, perfectly expresses the inner meaning of Mark's miracle. It acknowledges that before we can hear the word of God, we need God himself to open our ears to do so. Our natural state is not one of readiness to hear his message. Rather, it's the opposite. Only those who, by God's grace, have ears to hear, can hear. And we must recognize this in ourselves, whether as Christians, as congregations, as churches, as countries. We must recognize our continuing resistance to God's message, especially when it threatens and challenges us. At times, it can see that we are selectively deaf. We hear as much truth as we can cope with, and instinctively we block the rest. But God will keep on pushing us to hear the truth, to see the truth about him, about the world, about others we share the world with. And every now and then, we suddenly have our ears opened. This is a very easy passage to read and talk about Syrophoenician woman and her child and feel remote from her and to feel remote from the deaf mute. Where is Syrophoenicia anyway? Well, just hang on a moment. Syrophoenician woman, in the translation in our Bible, it's more explicit. In verse 26, we see that the woman is a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She has come with her child from Syria. She's an outsider, an outcast. Perhaps we could even call her a refugee. As human beings, we suffer from a deep insecurity that pushes us to create rules that give us status and value to some while belittling others. The first century, the poor, the infirm, the orphaned, the mentally ill, the alien, and many women lived with very low status. In the 21st century, many of these people still live at the margins of society. There continues to be a sense that if people end up homeless or on drugs, they're weak or at fault. Our world teaches us to shun the dirty, smelly woman ranting on the bus and not to embrace her. We get used to seeing swarms of refugees attacking our borders. Prisoners in other countries and religions can be blindfolded or humiliated because they're deemed to be undeserving of the same rights and privileges of those in power. The Syrian refugee with her child called on Jesus, asking for a mission of unlimited compassion and mercy. Jesus' response shows us that there are no external barriers between God and any human being, not race, class, ethnicity, gender, age, or physical condition. As a result, there should be no such barriers between human beings. So, let us return to the deaf mute. Let us return to this child being baptized. I mentioned how we can be selectively deaf. Probably every couple here of advancing years accuse each other of just this selective deafness. We can be spiritually selectively deaf as well. And we need that shout from God in our ears to say, Ephrathah, be opened, see, hear. And such a moment happened to me this week. A simple picture, so shocking, not in its violence, for I fear that I've become just a little inured to that. It was shocking in its terrible, tragic simplicity. It was the picture of that lifeless child who was drowned on the coast of Bodrum in Turkey, along with his brother and his mother, Syrian refugees who had died with their mother, the Syrophoenician woman, Rehan. That picture screamed, Ephrathah, be opened, not just to me, but across the world. The cry rang out, Ephrathah, Ephrathah, don't you hear? Don't you see what's happening? And the cry is beginning to be heard. The ears of the deaf are opened. The governments, the press, are hearing the cry. Their ears are being opened. I said right at the beginning of this sermon that we should imagine the Syrophoenician woman accosting Jesus as being like a homeless person interrupting the dinner of the Prime Minister to ask a favour. Well, what we have here is the 3-year-old child of a Syrian refugee interrupting the Prime Minister asking for a favour. Ephrathah, be opened, see and hear what is happening. Heavenly Father, I pray that as our ears are opened, then our tongues may be loosened, also to speak out against injustice. Let us not be deaf-mute observers. Amen.